On the show today, we have Cisco's Jason Bettinger talking about how cranes can digitize and win. So check it out. You say like financial services organizations should become tech-like or tech companies, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, let's talk about credit unions. What exactly does this look like? Because credit unions are like, hey, we're financial institutions, we're not technology companies, but at the same time, we need to be applying technology, obviously, to stay ahead of the curve or with the curve, so to speak. What does that look like? What does a credit union look like to be a technology company?
Yeah, and I think you're right that they are technology companies. But I think what we're saying, you know, is to try the opportunity is for them to build on the investments in kind of foundational IT and technology that they have to begin to enable kind of a new set of capabilities. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're going to need to really, you know, match and align with the new expectations of their members, differentiate their value in the market, et cetera. And so we've done an analysis actually in terms of, you know, what this looks like and the value at stake here is pretty considerable for a retail financial institution. It's about $405 billion over the next 3 years if they're able, you know, to make this move. So, I mean, what does it mean? I think it means kind of understanding the experience you want to drive with your members. Mm-hmm. I think it is, and really you should be basing that on member feedback, deep understanding of your members, right? Leveraging tools, you know, maybe like member journey mapping, overall across the entire value chain of you know, a member actually deciding to purchase products and services from you, but maybe even over micro journeys like a customer and member onboarding, mm-hmm. You know, new account opening, etc. And then I think you've kind of got to evaluate those journeys is what we're saying to kind of figure out which areas are right, you know, for disruption and could benefit most from these new capabilities that we're talking about. I think once you've done that, then you kind of got to decide, especially as a credit union, you know, how am I going to consume these capabilities from an IT perspective? And that last thing is probably, you know, most important for credit unions, and we can get into a little bit more of that.
Sure.
But, you know, I'd say, you know, and I mentioned the $405 billion mm-hmm. Number, that really came from an analysis we did of about 350 different use cases across a lot of different industries, about 30 of which were for financial services, mm-hmm. were for retail financial services. And probably about 10 of those 30 drove 95% of the value. Of that $405 billion. So, you know, when you're thinking about it, it's about really capturing entirely new sources of revenue by digitizing, and it's about kind of catching the migration, being able to be a winner in this versus a loser, win the digital customer, if you will, going forward.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the word expectations, because nowadays with Amazon's one click, and I there's a myriad of other examples out there where things are so easy to do online and mobile, all that type of stuff. Credit unions and banks too got to keep up with this type of stuff, because the consumer is getting more and more, I guess their expectations are getting higher and higher as far as online service levels go. And so I think this is probably along the same lines of what you're talking about, becoming digital and winning in this area.
Yeah, I mean, it's being driven from competition, obviously, in the financial services space. It's being driven to a large extent from the retail industry. It's being driven from new fintech companies that are kind of digitally native and used to operating in for instance, a cross-channel type of environment. That's, they built it, you know, in a cross-channel environment versus taking some of the legacy applications we may be using and trying then to extend them, you know, to different channels or extend the functionality. So a lot of different areas that are kind of forming a kind of the perfect storm for customers to really have much higher and members to have much higher expectations than they have in the past.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter and I were at the Apple store yesterday, just kind of goofing around. We'd like to go in there every now and then. And we were playing with the new MacBook. And that's just the coolest looking laptop I've ever seen in my life. And then I go over and look at the MacBook Air, which was really cool in its day when it first came out. But looking at it compared to the MacBook, looks like it was made in the 70s, you know? And nothing good was made in the 70s. Come on now. I think there was a few things. But anyway, I digress. But I mean, that's the type of expectations we're having these days with online services. I mean, it's like, gosh, you know, I mean, a call center just seems so archaic compared to what we're doing now, you know? I mean, although they're still needed today, obviously, but it's just these things that we're getting used to. I mean, the Internet of Things is coming around the corner, you know, where we'll be able to, you know, order detergent from our washing machine or order milk from our refrigerator. It's already happening now. So these are the types of things that financial institutions, credit unions in this case, are going to have to keep up with.
it's incredible. And, you know, I think the institutions realize this, right? So there's a real, you know, additional research that we had done in conjunction with the Center for Digital Business Transformation. They actually surveyed a lot of different financial services executives, and of those executives, financial services ended up being about the fourth highest or the third highest likely industry to be disrupted, you know, as this digitization trend occurs. And yet, the majority of financial services companies are still kind of taking that follow the leader approach. So there's a huge need for it. Everybody realizes it. Everybody realizes that we're really at risk of being disrupted. Yet still the majority of institutions are not moving in that direction. And so, you know, we, and I know you probably got a hold of this new study we did on security, on cybersecurity.
Yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah, I mean, and the role that's playing in kind of slowing things down, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's in that study, and it's pretty compelling. You know, we saw that, I mentioned the value at stake out there. There was value at stake associated with just the last year, 2015, mm-hmm. of around $144 billion. And really, financial services company only captured about 29% of that value.
Gosh.
So it's pretty amazing. That's still high. As we look across other industries, they're doing worse.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
You know,
that's encouraging.
You know, we believe, based on this last cybersecurity study that we've done, that really the cybersecurity concerns are playing a pretty major role in how quickly mm-hmm. institutions are beginning to capture this value and making this to digitize their business. I mean, some fairly compelling numbers in that about 74% of the financial services companies in the survey said that their concerns for cybersecurity were hindering their innovation. And about 37% of them had actually stopped some mission critical initiatives they felt were mission critical because of their concerns around security. Some pretty major, and then, you know, 60% of them said that they're very reluctant to innovate kind of in the digital space, roll out new digital products and services because of this concern. So it is really having an impact.
It's understandable that they would kind of take pause and okay, let's check this out, make sure it works and it doesn't expose us to something else that everybody else is getting exposed to these days. I mean, this, I mean, your financial institution, whether it's a bank or a credit union, is, you know, the security is the utmost importance. So I, that's totally understandable, but it still scares me that it's stopping them from advancing. You know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I guess it's not all of them. I mean, there's some bright spots, sure. I think, is what we saw. I mean, there's a group that we identified in the survey that we called them secure digitizers. And basically what that means is, I mean, one, they're committed to growing through digital business model. Mm-hmm. Two, they probably have a bit higher confidence around certain foundational technologies like big data and analytics and cloud and Internet of Things that you mentioned earlier. And they're probably taking a bit more proactive approach to cybersecurity versus kind of this, you know, a reactive, just being good at reacting to breaches or security issues.
Yeah.
So you see a group out there that actually views cybersecurity as a more than just a risk reduction type of tool, actually viewing it as a growth engine. And there were 44% of the respondents that basically said that they see cybersecurity and their ability to kind of secure these digital channel services products as a real competitive advantage as well. So a few out there that are realizing it, maybe taking a little bit different approach to security and thinking about cybersecurity a little differently.
Yeah.
In terms of what it can do to grow their business.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, there's always those people to look to and see what they're doing and ask them, hey, at least in the credit union industry, we were known for sharing our information. I'm not sure about the banking industry, but for credit unions, they share this type of stuff. Seriously. It's like, hey, what are you doing to be more secure than I am? So, hey, here's what we're doing. So that's kind of a cool thing that we share. So that's awesome. Now, to capture much of this multi-billion-dollar value that you were talking about earlier, you guys have identified some specific digital opportunities that will deliver the most significant business outcome. What are some of these opportunities that you guys are talking about that will help credit unions in this case deliver?
I mentioned, you know, of the 30 or so use cases out there, there were about 10 of them that drove 95% of the value. And those were really related to sales and service transformation. Okay. And I'll get into some more detail on that in a minute. Answering the need for your workers and your employees to work differently. So that really relates to kind of the next generation of workers and the workplace.
Yeah.
There was a use case around video-based advisors that we've probably talked a little bit about in the past. Mobile payments, you know, kind of rounded out the top four. Now, if I look at those top four even, the top two were more than half of that $405 billion. So it really is around kind of, I guess, creating and differentiating the sales and service model and the experience, as well as making the changes you need to make with and how your employees work. Mm-hmm. To support your members. To actually, you know, garner a lot of that. So what am I talking about with, you know, sales and service transformation? I mean, it could be really anywhere from kind of taking the opportunity to shorten lines in our branches. Yeah. and kind of line busting and when you see big lines out there and enabling a number of different technologies, maybe just putting wireless in your branches, allowing your employees to then engage with members right in the line, pull them out of line, sit across from them in a comfortable chair versus, you know, across a desk. And of course, all that means, yes, you've got to have the underlying wireless infrastructure to allow that kind of flexibility and movement, but you've also got to think about now your applications that once only operated on your desktop, now they've got to operate on a tablet, and I've got to have access, and I've got to secure those things. So it's that. It's it's personalizing those interactions. So it's making a lot better use of the data that we have to now actually begin to say, okay, when I engage with this particular member, I should know immediately the products and services that they're making use of. I may even understand, you know, how many times they have been into the branch, and I may even know if they were looking at certain products or services on their mobile device or online, so shopping for an auto loan mm-hmm. or shopping for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And those are the types of prompts that they can now be kind of given to the employees to begin to ask different questions. And you're obviously more likely, if you're catching the member at the right time and asking those questions and offering assistance at the right time when they're actually trying to figure out something in their financial situation to kind of have some acceptance from the member to actually have that conversation. So the other thing would be, and I mentioned this, and it's around kind of connecting your members. We know that there continues to be a migration and an evolution of what our branches look like, mm-hmm. How big they are, how they're resourced, leveraging universal type tellers and resources in those. But it also means that, you know, we can't have somebody that specializes in financial planning at that branch all the time. Somebody that's a mortgage expert yep. in that branch all the time, a small business lender in that branch all the time. And so there is still a need. And we know that our customers still go and our members still come into the branch looking for that type of advice. So being able to connect them with the appropriate expertise, wherever it may reside mm-hmm. In your institution, we still think is going to be critical to credit unions to be able to kind of deliver and take advantage of those opportunities as they present themselves in the branch. So, you know, some examples are around the sales and service piece of it. In terms of your next generation workers, well, one, we know they're not always going to be sitting behind a desk. They may even begin to engage in meetings on their way to the office. And what about the idea of having a meeting, you're on the phone, on the way to the office, you're able to walk into the office, seamlessly transfer that onto your computer screen, turn on the video, say, hey, I'm at my office now, let's look this up, or maybe even go into a conference room with a large video screen, connect up with your colleagues that are joining from other branches in other locations. Those are kind of that seamless ability to kind of meet regardless of where you are, this anytime, any place. That applies to your employees mm-hmm. as well as your members. So a couple of the, I think, larger larger areas of value as we think across those 10 use cases.
Gotcha. Yeah, it sounds like it's personalizing through digitizing, because you're really taking advantage of the digital tools that we have now to really work with the member. Like you said, the whole data thing, my gosh. And then, you know, and there's already branches, you know, out there that are becoming more consultative environments as opposed to a transaction environment where, like you said, the tellers are walking around with tablets now and sitting down on a couch and talking to members and saying, hey, what can we do for you? Hey, I just noticed that your auto loan is up in 3 months. Are you looking for a new car? That type of stuff. So that's all that stuff is, it's so cool to see. And it's keeping that personal service, but you're using the latest digital tools to do it. It's not just, you know, you're making a phone call anymore or you're just kind of hanging out. It's you're leveraging all that stuff like you were talking. So it's really neat to see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you see it, again, from employees now wanting to kind of leverage their own devices and, you know, how they work. Hey, I'd rather use an Android. I'd rather use my iPhone to... your members doing the same thing. Hey, I'd rather kind of maybe start this conversation online or start this process online, but you know, I really would like to come in and continue the conversation based on the research that I did myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this idea for your customers to even, you know, because you're right, a lot of the branches I think are evolving to these kind of, you know, providing more advice, sitting down on a couch, a comfortable chair, et cetera. But the other piece of it is, when you do want to come in there for a transaction, enabling that kind of self-service type of experience. But we also know there's the in-between. You start doing something and you think you can do it yourself, and then you have some questions. And so quickly being able to kind of move that from a self-service type of situation or transaction to one where you're getting assistance mm-hmm. from the most appropriate a person to be giving you that assistance is really valuable. And I mean, we're seeing that in the account opening process happen right now, whereas, you know, we may have different types of tools that members can go through to kind of evaluate, you know, different products and services that they might want to use.
Yeah.
And we'll probably ask them certain questions about their financial situation. And they may have questions. They may not know how to answer those. And you may see a lot of people start those types of questionnaires and never finish, or maybe even finish the questionnaire, but really never make a choice in terms of picking that product or opening that product.
Yeah.
And being able to, if they're stuck on a page for 10 minutes and trying to answer a question, being able to proactively engage them and say, hey, mm-hmm. would you like some help?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'd love it. I do not know how to answer that, you know, that sort of thing. You know, it is more likely to kind of see, because that's an area where credit unions and retail financial services in general, you see a lot of drop off from customers starting to do the research mm-hmm. to those that actually end up making a decision mm-hmm. On a product
yeah.
and actually opening and funding.
Yeah.
A product with you.
Yeah, I want to go back to the Apple Store here, because the Apple Store, we all know it's, you know, the technology is over the moon with all that type of stuff. But when you first walk in, there's a person there greeting you. What can we do to help you? Here's this person over here can help you with this person. So there's that personalization still, even though you walk into a store like that and you go, you would expect it to be totally automated, everything, but there's a person there. So even Apple is doing it, and probably a bunch of the other technology companies that have storefronts are doing the same thing. So it just goes to show you that personal touch needs to be there, even though the digital stuff will reign supreme. It already is.
Yeah.
So they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're actually being, you know, I mentioned that wireless infrastructure. The other thing, putting that wireless infrastructure and that wireless capability and ability for members to connect when they come into a branch. The other thing that does is allow us to detect them and engage with them as they come in. So we may even be able to push a very quick message as soon as they walk through the door.
Yep.
To, you know, welcome back.
Yep, exactly.
You know, we'll be with you in a minute, or have somebody actually proactively come up and greet them and say, hey, we know you're here for a 2 o'clock appointment. Mm-hmm. Have a seat right over here. We'll be right with you. Yep. You know, thanks for coming in. It just makes all the difference in the world.
And that's where you guys come in, right? I mean, you guys do all the wireless stuff and get it all connected and keep it going and keep it going positively in the right direction.
We do. We actually have recently, you know, announced a partnership with Apple as well.
Wow. All right.
So we know that a lot of our retail financial services customers are evaluating leveraging tablets and smart devices and having them leverage those.
Yeah.
And so we've developed a partnership with Apple, whereas their devices will run that much more smoothly on Cisco networks, both wired and wireless networks. So all working towards the same, you know, towards the same goal. And I mentioned earlier, you know, this whole idea of, so once you decide you might want that kind of capability in your branch, both for your employees and for your members, then you've kind of got to make the decision on how you want to turn that on, or how you want to consume that.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I think is appealing to a lot of credit unions specifically, because the credit unions don't always own their platforms. They're reliant on their providers, their processors for a lot of the capabilities. You can now turn a lot of these kinds of capabilities on as a service from the cloud. They don't have to be integrated into your current platforms. And so Cisco has a company called Meraki. We own them now, but it's a wireless as a service. And in fact, they could even manage the whole service for you. So if you think about having that capability at one of your branches, but having somebody turn it on, manage it, keep it secure, that's the kind of stuff we do.
Ooh, I like that. Can you come to my house and do that?
Yeah, you can actually put a Meraki device in your house. You know, maybe a little over-engineered for your house, but it would definitely work. I'm sure we have several architects with it powering the wireless in their homes right now.
Right on. Good for them. Right on. Well, Jason, gosh, this is something that I could talk about. I have a real passion for this type of stuff. I could talk about this stuff all day long. So, I mean, I just want to say, hey, thank you so much. And my last question here to wrap up is, where can folks find out more about this survey that you guys took and research this really all-important topic that's, you know, touching us all, literally?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can go to Cisco.com. Okay. Mike, you can certainly find it there. There's going to be a number of press releases out there, so you could find us on Twitter. LinkedIn. You'll be seeing this a lot. So hopefully it will come across your desk. But if you're still looking for it and haven't seen it, go to Cisco.com and you'll be able to to the right place.
We will put the link in the show notes so people can get right to it and check it out and see how they can benefit from it. So this is awesome stuff. I mean, this stuff is it just blows me away how advanced we're getting, and there's no end in sight. So it's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. Yeah, it's a good time.
Indeed.
I
agree. All right, Jason, thank you so much. Everybody, Cisco's Jason Bettinger. Thank you very much, sir. Let's do it again.
Thank you, Mike.